Hi, welcome back to our podcast, The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door.
Kate and Lori here. And yeah. This is sort of an impromptu, not scripted podcast episode because we just really think that, I don't know, people need to hear the reality of what it looks like when people who should know how to do it well don't do it well. Because there's a high price that is paid. And oh, by the way, figuring out how to navigate through speaking the truth clearly and boldly and loudly and for as long as we can, as loud as we can, all those things, while also trying not to offend people and who will now refuse to provide support, it's exhausting to try to figure out how to do that. And here we are in the middle. Still trying to figure that out and fighting with the very people who have said they're here to help.
Yeah. As if we're not fighting enough as it is. We're fighting through safety concerns every single day. We're fighting to bring it out all into the light, right? We're trying to show people what's happening in their own goddamn backyard. This is happening on your island, right? And instead, I mean, and in parallel, I guess, to compound the problem, we are also fighting with the people that said, we're here, we'll help. How can that be?
And how many times are you going to have to do that? I know you have asked yourself many times, how did I let myself get sucked back into thinking that this was going to go differently than other times before?
Yeah, I'm still that way. I can't believe I trusted a church that hurt me. I can't believe I thought that they're, because one person, their one lead pastor was different, that it would be different. They've had 8 lead pastors in the last decade. Cornerstone's lead pastor has no power. So he could have all the best intentions in the world and it not matter because the core of the church is either is or is related to many of the evil people that did this very abuse. So of course they're going to close ranks and protect. And sometimes, I think sometimes the best way to do that, to protect themselves, is to look like a helper, right? If you show up to the scene, right? My God, like if you show up to the scene of a fire and you're helping people, nobody's going to question if you set the fire. So I don't know, is that their intention? Like, I don't know.
Well, and just maybe it is some people's intention, and we know specifically there are still some people in leadership that we need to be worried about. Some people, it may not be their intention, but still there they are.
This is a church that has protected themselves for generations. They know what they're doing. What?
So can you talk about the survey?
So Cornerstone hired a company called Grace to come in and do an independent investigation. And the idea was they're independent, even though Cornerstone is paying $70,000 for the investigation. The contract reads that Grace is independent, even though Cornerstone is the payer source. And it's super confusing that that's true, but, and we questioned it and it was like, nope, don't worry. Our contract reads that we are independent. We are not siding with the church just because they're paying us $70,000. So we trusted that. We trusted that that was true.
We decided to leave space for the possibility that that was true. I don't think we trusted.
Yeah. And one of the things that the independent investigation team does is they send out a survey that's supposed to be a way, the intention of the survey is to allow people the opportunity to maybe come forward with information that they know anonymously It gives the opportunity for people who are currently at the church to talk about concerns that they might have in the church currently, or to point out things that they are happy with in the church. It's an open-ended survey of, you know.
It's also a way to maybe capture people that they wouldn't have known they even needed to talk to.
Yes. Or people that are afraid to come forward and, you know, have a physical interview with the investigators, or who have information that they think, well, I don't really have, I have this one piece of information. It's not much to offer, but it's actually a ton, you know? So it's a very important thing, both for past people, you know, from the 90s who attended that church, and also people who have attended any time between now and then and still attend. And the idea was, I mean, they've had months. This is a part of the
standard protocol, yeah, for the
standard, like it's been laid out for us for Cornerstone since what, August, right? Since they signed a contract late July, you know, mid August. So they've had months knowing that this survey was going to be coming, and the survey was created by Grace. And all of a sudden we released an episode on Saturday about Cornerstone and them letting a named offender be present handing out candy at their Fall Fest just a few weeks ago. And we didn't come out swinging. We've stated the facts, right? We confronted the lead pastor about it. And it was kind of boo-hooed and like, we're sorry, we, you know, my bad kind of reaction. We're just trying to make it fair for everyone. Go back and listen to that episode if you haven't heard it. But we didn't come out swinging. We just stated the facts. And the next day, they sent out the survey, but only to a small number of people. They sent it out to people currently sitting in their pews. They sent it out to family members of the leadership, you know, who have a vested interest in seeing the church thrive in this coming back in the church's favor, which is the exact opposite purpose of the survey.
So who do we know didn't get a survey?
So a woman who went, went to the church from like mid 90s until early 2000s. Her husband, even longer. A woman who was a youth group leader, a children's ministry director, who only doesn't attend anymore because her husband is ill and they don't get out of the house much. People who currently go there, who are supporting the podcast. I mean, honestly, it's all people that support the podcast because they've come to us through us posting on social media. Sorry. That the survey didn't make it to everybody. And the thing is that they say that they didn't have contact information, but the way that the survey got to us, because we also didn't get a copy of the survey or a heads up from the church that the survey was going out, even though we were kind enough to give them a heads up when the episode was going to be released. But they didn't give us a heads up about the survey because they don't fight fair. And the survey came to us through someone who messaged us and said, I received this survey in my email this morning. I don't even go to Cornerstone. I went there one time as a visitor back in like 2021. Should I fill it out? So it's not that they didn't have contact information, because if they have contact information for somebody who was there one time a year ago, then they should have contact information for all of these other people. And if they didn't have contact information for a lot of other people, like we said, they've had months to prepare for this survey, months to go back in those picture directories that they've had for decades and figure out who was there, who do we still need information from.
If they really wanted all the information.
If they wanted the truth. if they wanted the survey to do what it's supposed to do. We also heard that after we posted about the survey on social media, 2 days later, now all of a sudden more people are getting the survey who they originally said they didn't have contact information from. So it's very hard to see this as not a deliberate reaction. We posted an episode about them on Saturday, and on Sunday they send out a survey to only the people they would prefer to take it. It's also not the protocol. The protocol of the very investigators that they hired is for the investigators to sit down with the church and help them figure out how to distribute this survey, to explain to them how this process is supposed to go. And instead, they just had a knee-jerk reaction and pulled the trigger and sent it out.
And I think it's important to say, right? So that would not be a great response, but the fact that it comes from the very church where so many people sit who are either related to or were directly involved in your abuse.
Yeah.
Makes it feel how?
Like they're going to win. They always fucking win. They always win. This church has been protecting themselves with these secrets for decades. Decades. And if you're not with them, you're against them. You know, if you leave the church, you're out forever. This is different than the chapel. This is quite different from the chapel. These are leaders of a church who truthfully are intermarried. There's literally people on the leadership board who are married or in-laws of each other. There are only about 4 families who run this church, and they all married each other. And it is protect the church and protect the brand and protect the families at all costs.
And some are protect the abuse cycle.
Yep. Because many of the abusers are either part of or related to these families, which we have been saying to the lead pastor from the beginning. And now they're closing ranks and they don't fight fair. But how could they? They've been doing this for decades, right? They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly how to protect this church. And in my mind, they came out as, we're going to help. We're going to hire this organization. We're going to spend $70,000. Look at us. We're the heroes. We're spending $70,000 to hire an independent organization to come in and do this investigation. And then they skew the investigation results by pulling this kind of garbage, right? They came out as the heroes, but sometimes the heroes are not heroes.
Okay. Can you talk about that feeling of, this is how come I lose?
Yeah, because it's a secret. It's a well-kept secret. This is not a skeevy youth pastor who messed up and is going to have a whole trail of mistakes that are going to add up and then it's going to be obvious. This is an organized effort to cover up these things. This is an organized effort to protect the secret at all costs. And it's very hard to win against that as an individual. And I never win. And that is what they have always said. You will never win. You will never be heard. You will never. People will believe part of it. People will believe.
Only as long as you say things they can tolerate. Only as long as you say it in a way they can tolerate. Only as long as you don't go and name or go after, quote unquote, somebody they think surely they're being too harsh.
But that's also been the experience, right? Every time we get close to the head of the snake, it's too much. It's people fall away because that's true. I don't know.
So we have to keep trying because what's the alternative? But it also feels like trying to what end?
Yeah.
And then on top of all of that, more information just keeps coming to us about other people being involved, other people being hurt. And how can I know this is hard, but how can you talk about how that feels?
Like, oh my God, I'm not crazy. It wasn't just me, but also like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
And then with all of that, to be fighting the very people who are supposed to be helping.
Yeah.
And have to scream and over and over and over again say the same things to the same people. That this is a safety concern. That this is not like every other situation. This is more complicated. This is deeper. This is to have to keep begging for help is just...
it's exhausting and defeating and
infuriating.
Yeah, it's like I rage so hard until I collapse. And it doesn't matter. You can rage all day long. And yesterday in a meeting about this, we were yelling. And got nowhere. So.
In a meeting with people who should.
Who should know and who should want to help. Who say, we're here to help. Don't worry. I'm here to help. Except you're making it worse.
And making it harder. Now, the jury's still out on how that meeting, the conclusion of that meeting.
Yeah.
We left the meeting with an open-ended question about where we go from here. That is yet to be answered.
Can I go back to the church, though? Because I also want to talk about the commitment that we asked for from the church. Can we talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
When they hired the investigators, the report that's going to come out of this investigation is going to have details of what I have told the investigators, details of my abuse, details of the worst parts of my life.
And what other people have said about your abuse.
Yes. Yes. So literally things that only Lori should ever have to hear will be written down in black and white for this church, the very church where these things took place by members of their leadership and by family members of their leadership is now going to be published for them to read. And before the process started, I insisted on an agreement in which that wasn't the case, in that only the lead pastor, who wasn't even there at the time, and two other elders, which, by the way, we did find out that they sold us on this bill of goods that one of the elders, that these two other men were not even there in the 90s, which is not accurate because one of them is related to the same family that, so, you know, because they're all related to each other. But anyways, that the final report would only be seen by these three men. And then the independent investigators would write a redacted, summarized version for the elder board to read. And getting this agreement with them was literally one of the most painful processes that we've been through yet. I mean, the emails back and forth and the begging them to see the concern here, begging them to see the safety concern, handing over details of the very abuse that some of them committed or their family members committed. For what? For these offenders to get off on, right? Like the thought of that was just sickening. And people have asked us about that. Do you know what happens? Like, do you really want this church to have these details? But we got the agreement.
But okay, can I just also say it was also so much work to get them to talk to each other, to move beyond, nope, sorry, that's not how we do it.
Like, yeah, my God, yeah. But we finally, like, meeting after meeting after screaming and raging and not understanding what the disconnect was and how can you not see this and how can you not understand this. And finally, we get the agreement that only these three men will have access to the report. It will remain one copy of it in a locked lockbox that only the lead pastor has access to. And when and if he is fired, because he will be, because that is how this church goes, the key to that lockbox remains with him. That is the agreement that we finally came to. Thank God. Only so that, because I was like, I'm not participating in this unless this agreement is in place. And then we hear that the Board of Elders is still angry about the controlling nature of me trying to get this commitment from them. That I was controlling the situation. Of course I'm controlling the situation. It's my life. It's my details, my story, the abuse that happened to me. So yes, I am going to demand a certain level of control over that. But yes, go ahead and be mad, right? But again, and for what purpose? Why do they want to read that? Why do they want to read the gory details of, right? Again, to protect the church. That is the reason. I don't know.
It's exhausting.
Oh, God, it's so exhausting. Honestly, like, this is more exhausting than actually fighting the offenders.
Well, it's exhausting, I feel like, in a different way, because we can't help but think, oh, it shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard.
It should not be this hard.
Except that somehow there continues to be this disconnect of this is a real safety concern. I mean, even with the people who are saying, no, we believe it, there seems to be a struggle to understand that there has to be a different way to operate in this space. There's no excuse to blindside us with a survey. There's no excuse to send out the survey not well. Like, there's just no excuse. There's no reason for it.
Yeah. And it's not a, oh, they messed up. They dropped, you know, when I confronted John about the offender being at Fall Fest, it was my bad, right? When we talk about they didn't send the survey out, it's meh. They did a crappy job of doing it. No, it's not that. It doesn't get to be that.
There's too much at stake here.
There's too much at stake. And if you're paying $70,000 for an investigation, why would you not want it done to the best of its ability? So doing what they did with the survey undermines the $70,000 investigation, which again leaves me to feel like, well, yeah, they're the payer source. They can do whatever they want. They can send out the survey whenever they want, however they want. They're the payer source. So what am I doing here?
Except, do you feel like you have a choice?
No, I don't have a choice, because the investigation is going to happen with or without me. So it's either I tell my story in my words, or I let someone else tell my story who doesn't know it, who hasn't lived it or experienced it. And maybe they believe it and maybe they don't. Or maybe it comes back in my favor and maybe it doesn't. So at least if I'm in it and have control over it, at least I have control over A, what happens to the report, and B, how the story is told, right? But it's exhausting. It's exhausting because it's not as simple as an independent investigation, and the investigation is hard. It's exhausting because we are fighting for every single basic dignity and basic right as a victim in this process. We shouldn't have to do that.
We should not have to do that. So this is probably the most raw people have heard you. Anything you want to say to everybody?
No, I'm just tired.